This morning was
Okay,
everybody whining and crying about the game.
Okay, the time is 6:34. The chair will call the Human Services meeting of 9:25:12 to order. Are there any citizen comments?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, Ms. Davis, could you please call the roll?
Sure.
Sorry.
Okay. David Hallman?
Present.
Aaron Decker?
Here.
Boyd Frederick?
Here.
Angie Montemuro?
Here.
Gabe Newdom?
Here.
Anita Johnson?
Here.
Jacob Genther?
Here.
Stephanie Carrillo?
Carrillo?
Carvilla.
Carvilla?
Yes, I'm here.
David Arrington? Not present. Did he let anybody know? Okay.
Citizens' comments? 5 minutes. State your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Ruth Fangler, F-A-N-G-M-E-I-E-R. I'm a member of the Kenosha Common Commission on Aging, and I'm here this evening for a brief moment to ask you to reconsider the status of the economic support services. This economic support service is really the entry point for a variety of low income, disabled, and elderly people in Kenosha County. And it wasn't too long ago that the Kenosha County Commission on Aging advocated that that service stay locally in Kenosha rather than be outsourced, if you will, to Milwaukee, and with many other groups secured that opportunity. What we found recently is that the volume of calls handled by the county's economic support system has increased dramatically in recent months, and the result of that is that people are waiting online to talk to their workers in order to be sure that they're eligible for some of the services they've applied for and to straighten out difficulties that they may have. Some of these services are so difficult to apply for. A lost phone message, a lost piece of paper, and you're knocked out of the system. For example, something that might happen is you or your parents or your children or neighbors or friends might be calling repeatedly, leaving messages that may or may not be returned. You're calling perhaps wanting to learn that the cost of your medical procedure or your prescriptions will or will not be covered. For older adults, sometimes we joke and say, well, you know, they don't have anything else to do anyway, so they consider. But the reality of it is that we all know how frustrating that can be. It doesn't just happen to older adults. And that I think we can show through research that that type of stress may impact their quality of life and some of their health conditions. People report, for example, having to hang up during a call because they're running out of minutes on their phones. So their access to services really being impacted. We're asking you to reconsider this and see if there's any way you can fund an increasing number of economic support workers who can be trained and provide better services for low-income people and the disabled and elderly in Kenosha County. I thank you for your time and your attention to this. I believe that we sent letters to a number of you, and we appreciate you taking this into consideration. We'll all probably be using that service for too long, at least I will. Thank you very much.
Any other citizen comments? Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. Just before we approve the minutes, two notes. One, the tape does pick up the ruffling and shuffling of papers and whispering of comments, so if you're going to make any kind of noise, try to minimize it as much as possible. Other than that, is there a motion to approve the minutes of 8:28:12?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Supervisor Frederick, second by Supervisor Newdo. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Minutes are approved. Agenda item 4. Requested new committee member orientation of the 2012 current year. This is 2012. Current year budget presentation, as was reported on October 21. Probably with some minor updates and adjustments, I guess.
What we gave you was the exact presentation.
presentation that we did last October in our combined committee. And it's going to be in the same format that you will receive next month on October 18th when we get together. Only there'll be the 12, adapted 12 versus the new 2013. What I'm going to do is, because if you don't mind, I'd like to go through each page, just kind of summarize what's on the page. And if you have any questions, maybe we can wait to the end. I'm not sure, but if you need a burning answer at that point, sure, we can stop. Because there's quite a few pages to this, so I'm not sure how long you want me to speak. So what we'll do is we'll start off, and the very first page is a department overview that we do. And it has to do with the 2012 proposed, which now is adapted with some minor changes after this report, to the 2011 adapted. So, for example, we as a department have $76.6 million of expenditures. $64 million of that is outside funding sources, and our levy is only $12 million. 457. We have in the department 347 FTEs, and our personnel budget is about 36% of our total budget. And then down below in the green, we have recapped the divisions that are highest to lowest with the levy differences. So if you turn to page 2, it's the same information for the funding sources, but we put them in a pie chart. So you can see of the $64 million that we have for funding sources, these are what's funding it out of our total expenditures. So federal comes 40.2%. That's our largest. The state has 31.7%. The levy is third at 16.5%. We have grants at 0.4%, and then the other category is any kind of local funding. So, for example, some fees that we charge at the health department, the city of Kenosha's contribution for the health department, medical examiner fees that we receive from families, you know, things like that. So it's outside of federal, state, grant, and local levy dollars. Then we had, on page 3 of the overview, we had a four-year levy comparison, budgeted versus actual. So you can see we've come in the last 4 years lower in actual than what we had budgeted in the adopted portion of the budget. Over the last 4 years, we have returned almost $2.3 million to the general fund. Page 4 for the new County Board Supervisors, we're not sure if you understood or knew what was happening in the state budget at that time, but we were for years relying on income maintenance. It's a special funding, and it's from the federal government, and we were using it as a 50% match, using our local dollars and matching with the federal drawdown of local dollars. And when the state put their new budget together, they limited that access for us through the state pass-through. So we were using it for a lot of our preventive network services that were helping with the same families who income maintenance was also enrolled in the income maintenance programs. So this was just a timeline of what we put together that we actually had. We're very successful in getting $1.5 million in each of the 2 years in the state budget for GPR to help us offset that for the next 2 years, which was 2012 and 2013. Then on Office of the Director, this category, you will see the same format for every division. So it actually goes along with your budget book categories. So when you get the budget book on October 2nd, we'll have page numbers and everything to reference. But if you have the 2012 budget, that budget book, that's what this references. So again, we have the FTE sheets, the FTE. So we show a change from 2011 to the proposed 2012 at this point, and we show the differences. And in the right-hand column, we explain where those differences are coming from for between the 2 years. And again, it goes with the categories within the budget book. So we have FTEs, personnel is broken apart, contractual changes, supplies, fixed charges, and grants and contributions. And that's our expenditure above the gray line. Below the gray line is our revenue changes. And again, these are categories that you'll see in the budget book. Sometimes they're rolled up in your budget book, so we actually give you the detail in blue on some of those. And Office of the Director is we only have a few people coming up to ease, and what it's myself and John, and we have a contract manager, and we have some planning and evaluation people, and we have our DHS, our Human Services IT staff that helps us. And they're not county staff, they're contracted staff, but they work directly with our county IT staff, and they help us with all of the several databases that we have to report to on federal and state level. And they help us maintain that database and all the client history, whereas JD Edwards, which would be everybody else's database here, doesn't have that client detail, and Human Services needs that client detail. So we serve all of the divisions within the department. So our costs can be allocated based upon how we help each division on some of those federal and state funding sources, so we can also draw down to help offset our costs in the Office of the Director. Central Services is just a few people, and what it is it takes care of our building, and it takes care of the people inside of our building. So, like I said, we had 300 and some county FTEs, but we have probably another 200 to 300 contracted staff or job center partners within our building that help all of our clients that walk through the door. So what Central Services does is maintain safety, maintains like the areas that people work in. They maintain the equipment, like the printers and the faxes and copier machines. And they also do our mail handling and anything else. Safety and security are one of the major things that they do. They provide for us if we have any issues with outside clients. They are there to help us. And I don't know if I'm forgetting anything, but anyways, all the rents, the divisions pay rent, and so do our job center partners pay rent. And there's no levy in Central Services. Central Services is offset by the rent we pay towards this. There's no direct levy in there. Veteran Services is our smallest division, and they have three people there. They have the one office located on the north side of the building. Again, you'll see the same categories in each of the divisions, with the expenditures broken down into the budget book categories and then the revenue associated with that. And any changes, again, on the right-hand column. Workforce Development, you've heard quite a bit from them lately. And again, they have our W-2 program, they have our income maintenance program, food share program. And what we kind of do with some of our larger divisions is we give you some graphs and charts to help you understand either the type of services or the type of people that we are serving. So for Workforce Development, for W-2 benefits, you can see that we were, 2011 was it was more than $3 million that we paid off in benefits. Our average monthly W-2 cases were 528. We know in 2012 that has even risen again. And the average number of all the economic support cases, so they handle child care and food share and medical assistance in W-2, we were up to 14,964 last October, and it's already been, when we were going through that resolution with the economic support workers, we were showing you 15,000 plus on an unduplicated caseload there. So you can see it's just within the year has increased quite a bit. And then Workforce Development, again, has the budget book changes. And we try to, you know, we'll match the page numbers so that you can follow along with the budget book that you get from administration. And again, expenditures and revenues. And the bottom line, the last line, is always the county levy, up or down. For the medical examiner, which is the next section, a medical examiner, by state statute, you have to have some type of person in charge to handle the deaths administered through this through the county. And we have reported on the number of autopsies. When I came in on my second quarter report, that the number of autopsies have risen, specifically the accidental deaths. And so for every, we have a agreement with Milwaukee County, with their medical examiner office, that they do our autopsies, and they have had the same rate, $1,200 an autopsy, and that includes all the types of supplies and x-rays and things that go with it. It's an all-inclusive rate. So we do transport the body up to Milwaukee County for that. And then they do the autopsy, and we get the information back. And that is in lieu of what we used to have, a doctor. We used to have an actual forensic physician on board that would do all of our, but now we're using those physicians from Milwaukee County. And so they are going to keep the same rate in 2013, too. So we're very happy Milwaukee County is working with us.
When did that switch?
It was September of 2011 that Dr. Wittig left. We used to have a full-time when Dr. Malin was here, and then we went down to a, because Dr. Malin was even part of the staff, she would actually take some on-call hours, and so she was full-time. And then we hired some deputies to take that over, and so Dr. Wittig came in as kind of a two-thirds, you know, we were just using him for cutting and stuff. And then he left in September last year, and then we hired our medical examiner, Patty.
Has our cost been going up since then, or?
Pardon me?
The cost. Did the cost go up or down?
No, we saved on some, but now with the increase in autopsies, it's offset that, and we're pretty even from when we had
overall,
it
it's about, yeah. Sorry.
No, but I mean, you know, I mean, it's leveled, but we were lower in autopsies 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. Actually, the doctor came back. We had Dr. Mainland, I think it started in 04, in fall 04. I think, and that's when we took it over, because it was on its own, and then they brought it into human services. And then we also include a medical examiner fee schedule. And we highlight the things that were going to go up a little bit. So some of the fees were going up, an increase in charges of, like, the death certificate went up and removal of the body and cremation permits, but also the estimates also went up to increase our total revenue. And you will see, again, the same sheet in next month. And then for health services, probably the more you're familiar with is we had, you know, is the clinics that we do, and we have like the flea shots and things like that. But we also do environmental, and we do city ordinance checks. So we have a lot of things going on in the health department. And this chart here with the before and after of a reorg happened last year for 2012, because we needed to look for some savings in that division specifically. So with some people who were leaving and changing, the director proposed this new org chart, and it's working rather well. We implemented it, and it's working quite well, and we won't be having any changes in that. But you can see that there's lab, there's nursing, there's environmental, and then there's the grant areas. So those are the areas that our health department handles. And then they actually have two pages of expenditures and revenues associated with them, or actually three pages. And then they also include a fee schedule that's at the end of their presentation. That, and the Board of Health approves theirs first. They'll approve theirs on October 8th, on Monday, I think that is. And you'll also see a new fee schedule for the 2013 year, too. And then we have aging and disability services. And, you know, again, with the larger divisions, we kind of give you some charts of information. And these charts, I've been using these also in my quarterly reports to you. So even back in last October, we were using the same type of charts. And again, it showed the hospital days of care increasing. So, you know, it's kind of the trend for the institutes were going down, the hospital days were going up, but what hit us this year is that the institutes also went up, and we had some longer-term clients in there. So the blip will come when you see this next month, you'll see a blip for 2012 coming back up. And then aging and disability services, you know, they take care of the elderly, and they do have three economic support workers that sit into their division that help with the blind, disabled, and elderly for medical assistance, for food share, and Medicaid, to be eligible for Medicaid. And anybody who is in a nursing home on Medicaid has to be certified every year through the Division of Aging and Disability Services. Like, for example, my mother was in a nursing home for a long time, and once a year I would go see my economic support worker and hand her her information just so that they knew that she was still eligible for Medicaid.
Every year?
Every year. It's an annual certification, yes. It's an annual certification. So that's anybody, specifically in a nursing home on Medicaid. They have to do that. Now we have Children and Family Services, and their chart is on the third page, and it's a 12-year juvenile placement cost. And again, that's our largest cost in Children and Family Services, so that's why we show you the chart. And I know we sent you out a revised through August, it would have been, or through July, it would have been. Cost for our deficit for this year, and that I was showing you that we were breaking even on that sheet, because the $187,000 that we were showing that we were over in juvenile placements this year was covered, because we had just found out from the institutes that this long-term client of ours that was there had private insurance that could pay for some of it. So we were very excited. And now every month, because what happens is the institutes, they'll bill for us, but they don't do collections. We have to pay them first, and then if they collect, they credit our account. So now what we're doing is the institutes are going to every month give us a report, and we are asking for that. Who is in there specifically on Medicaid, on insurances, so that we can say, well, you know, if she's on insurance that pays for it, then we won't put that in our figures, and we won't post it back at the end of the year. So now we actually had them do that now, and they're, because we told them that we need that information in order, you know, to put appropriately adjust. So yes, that did help. So we did eliminate that overage for Children and Family Services this year so far. And then again, the total placement days of care and the average daily rates that we're seeing. And you'll see the same charts next month, only updated with 2012 information. And then we have Brookside. And again, they have the same budget book changes. What we do, though, is we give you a little bit more information on revenue and costs there. So for the average daily census, we break it down between Medicare, Medicaid, and private pay. And so this is what this sheet will do, is it tells us in our average daily census how much per day we're actually reimbursed, and the 2012 that's proposed is our estimate based upon what we've been experiencing. And then it'll show the increase and decrease in the right-hand column. So we were actually able to increase $197,999, for example, in our revenues to help offset that from the 2011's adopted. And then what we do is, when we set the daily rate for private pay, it's $290 for 2012, is the next page is we actually do a survey of the nursing homes in our area, and we ask for equivalent to our private pay rooms what they are charging. So, and we're always kind of in the middle of the pack or lower. And And again, so far in 2012, that's where we're sitting too, in the middle of the pack.
For Kenosha?
Yes, for Kenosha only, Kenosha County homes only. So we have some higher and some lower, so we're kind of still right in the middle. So we're very competitive with that rate, very competitive. And then because we've done this for the quarterly report now, I've included it in the budget presentation, is the three categories, again, with some graphs and information, and total revenues that we've received for those. And for Brookside, the reason we have been so aggressive moving towards Medicare is because, remember, private pay, our rate is meant for our citizens to break even for a cost in that facility. Medicaid, we lose, this year we're losing about $140 a day when we have a Medicaid patient, Title 19 patient. And Medicare is where we make it up, is they reimburse at a higher rate, although they're shorter stay. So if we increase our Medicare census, we can cover the offsets of Medicaid, and we can get off the levy dime, which is what we've been trying to do all along in the last 3 or 4 years since Fran really came on board as the administrator. So you can see what this page does is it tells you how much we have given back available to LAPS to the general fund. And the column D, it says IGT, which is intergovernmental transfer. And because we are a county-run nursing home, a county-owned nursing home, there is a, it's really called supplemental SP now at the state level. And they have this $37.1 million that they distribute to county nursing homes who have losses based upon Medicaid patients. Every year I complete a Medicaid cost report, and it's like 100 and some pages, and it's really a huge financial document that we put in our costs. And based upon that, and based upon the facility, the other facilities in this pool, county owned nursing homes only, we get a rebate, let's say, from that $37.1 million. And that IGT received, those are the dollars that we have received in column D over the years. And it's been pretty equal the last couple years. You'll see the 1.1 and 1.2 million in 09 and 08. They had extra money at the state that they added to that pot at that point. So it was added supplement. But you can see in this little box down here on the left-hand side, a 12-year average operating levy impact is $165,000 a year. I mean, that's not bad having a county nursing home like that. And we'll update this again for 2012. And then we have the Internal Service Fund, which is, what really is our debt service on our building. When we moved into the job center, it should be the building principal should be paid off, the principal and interest portion should be paid off in about 2012. We should be fully depreciated in another 5 or 6 years. So we still have to handle the depreciation on it. So our rents are whatever we pay in rent, our job center partners and our divisions, this is included. This debt service is included in those rents. So again, we're trying to be very efficient by sustaining ourselves in that building with that cost us. And boy, is that the Reader's Digest version of this. Yeah. I know. Supervisor Decker was there last year, so you know, this is about like, you know, 1/10 of of what I talk about, but I didn't think you'd wanted each line item. You can read what's in the line items. But you know, obviously I go much more into detail in October. And we stop at the end of every division, and we have to have certain approvals and things like that. So.
Questions?
That was very helpful. Thank you.
I'm glad.
That was excellent. Thank you.
And just to give you a flavor, and again, you know, this is kind of not bad to hear it this month because in the October 18th, now you're going to hear the 13 information, so it won't be so foreign.
And I would certainly encourage any or all of you, when you get your budget books on October 2nd, as you go through them, if you have any questions on anything that's in human services, Lori and I are more than happy to meet with you at whatever time, day that would be convenient for you, or even a simple email, if it's something we can handle through email to Lori and myself, we'll get you the answers, because that helps certainly smooth out some of the process, and we don't get caught up in a long issue that perhaps we could resolve before.
Right, on October 18th, I mean, yeah, we know a lot, but I might not have that answer, you know, that information right there at my fingertips. So if you could give us a heads up, you know, that would be great, and I could bring that information.
Supervisor Dunn?
Is there a way we can get, not this one, but the new one ahead of time? Or do you, are you working on the numbers so far, you know, close to deadline that...
No, that's probably...
Because it's good to sit to compare.
You're right. If I can get it out ahead of time, okay. I absolutely will. But we're number crunching right up to...
Even like a couple days would be great.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. So if you can.
I will try. I will try. Because I understand, you know, for you to see it that first night. You know, but sometimes we don't get to see the final version until that day.
And then I know Fran is working towards Brookside being off the levy.
Yes.
And actually generating revenue. Mm-hmm. And she, in hopes of Brookside being able to keep that so they can use that to do reconstruction or whatever. Is that close in the future that we're... How close are they to right now in 2011?
Every budget in the last 10, 11, and 12, we have given you an adopted budget that had no levy in it.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, one year it was $165,000 of their operating revenue going back to the general fund, and I think that was this year's for 2012. I mean, our adopted is always showing no levy because that's our plan. What happens during the year, and last year it was the health insurance that
it was like 237.
It was 300 and some thousand. 300? We got hit in February of this year for last year's cost. Otherwise, we were at zero. And this year, we are showing a profit of about $200,000, I think it was, the last financial statement that we gave you. So we're showing a profit of $200,000. As long as the general fund is below the 17%, which was the county board adoption, mm-hmm. any excess has to go back to feed that to get that up to 17%. So as soon as the general fund reaches that limit, Brookside may and has in the past kept that into their fund so that they can pay for some of the capital improvements. They don't have to rely on bonding and that type of thing. So
now, forgive me, I haven't been on the board since we have had that deficit, so everything seems to go into that. Are they already set up that if we hit that magic 17%, they can automatically keep it, or is that something we have to do where we write a resolution saying that that money can go back to Brookside?
No, in fact, I think the resolution is reverse. Like, everybody gets to keep,
okay.
except if it's 17%.
Okay.
If it's under that, then they get
okay.
to take it back. If you look at Brookside's, that levy, that 12-year levy, you can see this chart where it showed all the levy and the IGT information.
Mm-hmm.
In 04, 5, and 6, they actually had their own reserve, and that's in column B. They actually had their own reserve of $1 million. And we got in middle of 2007 and 8 was the critical path that hit, and we were starting to dip more into the general fund, and so that kind of got swept back into the general fund. Time to help offset the loss.
Okay. Just for history's sake, when was it that they switched mostly to short-term versus long-term care?
The big push is when Fran came in.
Which was
December.
Okay.
Well, December of 08, so look at that.
One more. Was she here? What's 12? I know time flies, but I'm just curious because I know that was a big switch.
She came in around that time.
And
it must have been December of 09.
Okay. So
and then 10... 11. This must be her third.
No, I think it might be end of 08.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Right. The reason I
Supervisor,
asked, I'm sorry.
If I may, Supervisor Decker still has the floor.
I'm so sorry.
Oh,
I'm done. Sorry.
I know Supervisor Nudo had something. Yes.
Oh, that's okay. great. Excuse me. It's just a stupid question anyway. I see it here that every year we're coming under budget, pretty much, on the comparison sheet. Is there a reason why we budget more than what we need, or...?
It's not more than what we need at the time. Okay, let's think. Like, for example, this year, I've been giving you a dad's budget of overages in institutes and days of care of about $350,000 over, okay? I'm building my budget for 2013 based upon this information we know right now, all right? So if we got good at the end of 2012, you know what I'm saying? And 2013 started good, then we were already saving and under. Same thing with DCFS juvenile placements. So, you know, unless we, I can't foretell the future, but we're always like 6 months, actually a year and 6 months behind, because all I have is 2011's total year actuals, and then I only have 7 or 8 months of 2012 to build a 2013 12-month budget. And so if we're experiencing issues in the summer of 2012, and we correct those by the time we're done in December, 2013 still has those issues sitting there, and we're compensating for it. So, unfortunately. I mean, and it could go the other way, too. Mm-hmm. We could be really good and not budget for it, and that's what's happened with dads in 2012, is that we got that spike in the institutes. And, you know, we didn't have that, as you can see from the chart, when we reported in October. So it's really hard to even that out. We try.
Okay, and the other question that I have is on for the HUDLET grant, the money spent there, is it all grants, or
yes.
Do we use any of our money, or?
No, not in the HUDLET.
Nothing at all. What about for the people involved in there, working there?
They're county employees, but they're grant-funded employees, so when the grant goes away, the funding goes away, and the people, the positions do go away. What page are you
on? Doesn't really have a
page.
Yeah. Division of Health, page 4.
Okay, so you're in the revenue section, for example, and you've got, right, $1.6 million
right.
For the HUDLET. And unfortunately, it's put in between personnel and then HUD expenditures on other things, so it's mixed in. But we don't have any levy match in the HUDLET grant.
Okay. So basically, all the money that is spent there comes from
yes.
The grant.
Mm-hmm.
And the grant is still on for 2013? Or
yeah, the Healthy Homes is going, we're instead of a, if I can remember the information that I have right now, is instead of a 5-year, it's going to be a 3-year, and it's going to be a little bit less. So the federal government gave us just a little bit less, because that's a federal pass-through. But it's still there. I mean, the concept will still be served.
And the next one on the next page, actually, page 5, with the fees, with the fee schedule.
Yes.
It looks like they were going up almost.
Yes.
I don't recall what it was before, but anyway, in here, is that a something?
What we do.
And that's going ahead of time now, but perhaps something is going to happen for 2013.
Yeah. Well, I actually haven't seen their 13 schedule yet.
Okay.
I've seen a draft, but I haven't seen what they're going to submit with our budget. But what we do is we cover the costs. We don't put a profit in these for the clinic. We cover our costs and we cover the administration of the shot. So however time it takes for a nurse or some other tech to give those shots or to administer those tests. So we try to cover our costs to break even. So if our costs are going up, you know, then and sometimes the shots themselves, the medicine themselves go up too.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Montemore?
And along that, on the same page, now we have a nurse practitioner there who's going to start seeing people too, which will be a new revenue, correct?
Yes, yeah, we won't be, because that nurse practitioner, if I remember the story, is they're going to be in the WIC office.
Okay.
And they're going to be dealing with the Medicaid population and the people who are already, you know, the forward card would pay for it. So these are fees if you and I would walk in into the clinic and have it done, or sometimes the school-age children, their parents have to have shots done by a certain date, and you should see the line sometimes out the door of the clinic because there's a deadline for Kenosha Unified to have it done. And it's those types. These are the fees. We don't charge our Medicaid. We would bill for health.
Along, sorry.
I'm done. Thank you.
Supervisor O'Day?
We're going to go right around the table tonight.
As it relates, Lori, to Brookside, when was it with Medicare lowered the rate? Was it during last year's budget or this year?
It's October 1st of this year's. It was October 1st of, 2011, you're right, that they lowered it in the middle of our budget. We had no clue they were going to lower, because the federal was done in October to September, and they lowered it. Now, they gave us back 2% this year, but on January 1st, they're going to take a 1%, actually a 1.5% off for this basket thing. I don't know the whole term, but it's collectively a rebate back to the federal government that and finishing their hole that they have at the feds. Yeah, it's called a basket something.
The only other thing on Brookside is the future debt service. You want to just touch on that?
Yeah, the debt service, Brookside covers their debt service in their budget. They pay for their own, it's in the operating revenues. And they're going to be done in 2013 in September should be our last payment. So that would free up approximately $800,000, which we have every belief that that will be returned as a one-time shot,
$800,000 annually?
Yes.
Back into the general fund. Well, it'll be a one-time shot going back.
Just say 2013.
Oh, okay. But I think our last payment is through September of next year. So, and that total debt service, that'll be a 2014 budget issue, because I still have to make the whole payment in 2013. So it'll be a 2014 help. And it's about $700 with debt, interest, and principal. And they're paid off then. Of course, now they might think about
it. The only other comment I want to make about Brookside, because I'm on the board of Brookside too. There's a foundation in Brookside that has paid for a number of things over the last few years too that enhance Brookside. For example, if you drive by there now, you'll see a LED sign out in front that's advertising our rehabilitation, things like that. That sign was, I think, $5,000-$6,000. It came out of donations. It wasn't taxpayer money or anything like that. So there are a number of things that the board does spend money on that they utilize donated money from patients and families that have been there. So it's really helped Brookside. And I think in 2 more years, Brookside's really going to be in pretty good shape going forward.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Okay. Youth and Governance, any questions? Supervisor Johnson.
I just wanted to mention that at WCA this week, we had the opportunity to sit in and listen to county nursing homes, and it was just amazing, those nursing homes that implemented some of the improvements that Brookside would like to pursue, their increases in revenue.
Making it more home-like environment.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then just getting that competitive edge to bring in the mix that they actually need to get ahead. But the numbers were just great, how they increased. So it was really good to be able to see that.
Supervisor Craig?
I was in a very long discussion meeting when it came to income maintenance. They said the letter's supposed to be coming out in the next couple weeks about the new rates, and then there's going to be a big push in 2014 in order to try to get more income maintenance funding, not just for WKRP, but for the whole state. Because La Crosse is really pushing it, and because they've had so many issues with it.
Good.
Supervisor Decker?
With the Brookside future debt service, once that's paid off, then that's less money that we're spending, correct? So that should add to the bottom line, that they should come out $750,000
right.
ahead, plus whatever they're
right, unless
right?
they plan to have
right.
another debt service
right.
or something.
But
or
as of right now,
correct.
If they don't spend the money, so
correct.
That puts them in a better position. And then you were discussing the immunizations?
Yes.
I just read, and I can't remember where I read it, that the county is saying that you can't walk in for immunizations anymore if you have insurance. Is that correct, or what? What was that?
That's correct, but that's coming from the feds.
Yeah, that's not us.
Wait, that's
the new health care.
It's the Affordable Care Act. Part of that underneath there requires if you have insurance, you should see your primary physician in order to get those.
So if I walked into the county, then I couldn't do it.
Well, you have county insurance?
No.
Oh, okay. Then no, you couldn't. If you have regular insurance,
yeah.
For the, you have to go see your physician for a flu shot. Right. That's
right,
my
so
understanding.
That's our right now.
Yeah.
Today, as of today.
Is there a physician so we can't go to clinics anymore? Like the
Walgreens?
Well,
yeah, I think
you
can go Walgreens and places like that.
But we can't get the $12 immunization. We have to charge the insurance company basically has to pay for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The flip side
of that's it.
I can answer that. The flip side is because everybody on the state insurance has to go to the health department because the government supplies the shots there for them. So, like any of my patients on the
Medicaid,
phone, yes, they all have to go. So that's why they're saying that. They're saying they will cover the shots that the state covers, and then everyone else has to go through the office.
Private
insurance.
Right.
You can use CVS or Walgreens any way you want, but you're not going to be able to use the health department because they're so overwhelmed right now with that. So any of my patients coming to my office, if they're on state insurance, I cannot give them a shot. That's been going on for years. That explains that.
So people are running all over the
place. Yeah, exactly.
In other words.
You know, if I may, and I know there's a lot of questions on this, and it was first brought to my attention, I think, a couple of weeks ago by Cindy Johnson, our director of health. She's out of the office for the next couple of days, but when she returns, I'll have her put out an email to the folks around this table just so we all have the same understanding of what exactly this is. And I believe Dr. Montemurro is correct that it's certainly for people that are on Title 19, that service is still available, but private insurance you get put somewhere else, and it may be the Walgreens of the world, or maybe your own, if you have your own doctor, which many of us do. And a lot of these doctors aren't carrying those things because
right.
they've always been referring them back to the health department. So that's going to be a big shift and change. But I don't want to misspeak as to the scope of all that. And if Cindy could just get something out to the committee members, I think that'd be good.
Something on that?
I think that helps the state save money, too, because people were getting the shots with insurance cheaper at the health department, and they didn't need to. And the state is trying to supply it to the people that they are under contract to give them to. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why. Otherwise, all the measles, mumps, and rubella shots could go elsewhere instead of for the people that are state insured. That's a way for the state to save money on that.
Supervisor?
Well, pretty much in the same. What about if somebody doesn't have insurance, then they can come to the county?
They come to health, yes, certainly.
And,
we never turn anybody away.
Okay, and most people that have insurance in the private sector, let's say, usually their deductible is a lot more than what the shot will be, so basically they would have to pay.
And you
would
get
they
charged
still be,
an office visit.
Yeah, would they still be entitled, even though, let's say, I have insurance, but if I go to get a shot, well, I'm going to end up paying because my deductible is a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. Now, would I qualify if I came to Kenosha County and get the shot?
I mean, that's not our understanding, but like John said, we'll get Cindy out and get you some information in writing because I know I'm not the expert. That's what we've heard around the divisions.
So on the same line, the $12, that's what it actually costs the county to administer that. The person that's sitting in the office and putting the plunder in and stuff, all that.
The nurse who does
is
it.
That sub? Is the cost of that subsidized, the cost of the actual vaccine subsidized through the state that we're getting it for cheaper? Because if I go to the, because if an average person goes to the doctor, they're being charged,
$60. They buy in bulk and they're distributed to the health departments across the state.
They have the cheapest vaccine price, period, anywhere. No standard office can meet that.
Right.
So even as an employed physician, we cannot touch that price. That's why. So the state is covering the cost of that vaccine quite a bit of it. That's why this is going on. And now more people are on state insurance. So I know this came from Madison to save that money because other people are taking advantage of that. That's what happened.
Yeah. Are we done with it?
Yeah. Are there any other questions?
I have another gift.
A map.
It's Christmas tonight. Supervisor Frederick asked for some of our services listing, and, you know, we have this report that we kind of bring up every couple of years. You know, it's not something that we do annually because it doesn't change that much, but the last time we did it was 2010, so we thought we would do it again. What I'd like to do tonight with you is just review this summary page, which is in the front. I would ask then that you take this home, look at the detail of the divisions behind it, and then I gave you my card stapled. If you could email me your questions, that would be great. You know, so then we can look at this the next time we meet, you know, if you have any questions. But let me walk you through the pretty colors and the summary. Is that okay?
You don't want to walk us through all three?
No, thank you.
Are you sure?
No, thank you. Okay. Because well, this is the summary.
Should we take a vote on that?
Did I? Because you know, I don't want to put you to sleep. I thought I was going to put you to sleep with the budget.
Maybe lightly touch on the attached
sure.
pages.
Sure.
Thank you.
So what this is in the, and I've labeled the columns, numbered the columns across. Okay, this is using our 2012 Human Services adopted budget for all the divisions within the Human Services Department. So, for example, column number one shows the division, which is located in each of your budget books separately. The 2012, column two is the 2012 total expenditure budget, and column three is the levy associated with that division. So we have total expenditures and then levy associated. In yellow is what each division has taken, all of their services that they provide, and it's required by state statutes, because we're a human services department, okay? So there's court ordered, there's protected placements, and those type of things. Like, for example, the medical examiner, that we're required to have a medical examiner, with that state statute required. Veterans, we're required to have a veterans office. You know, so those type of things. So those are state and or federal mandates in the yellow. So in column four, we have the expenditures associated with the services, the mandated services. In column six, and I'll just skip over the percentages at this point, but column six is we have other funding sources other than levy that we can draw down for some of these services. And that's the total in that. And then column eight is what's left over that our local levy dollars support. So if you look down at the total, the grand total, in column two we have just about $74 million in the 2012 budget, okay? We have $12.6 million of levy. So for mandated services, of our total services, 57.5% of our department is mandated. And 82.4%, the total in column nine, is our levy. So we use 82.4% of our levy dollars to support 57.5% of our mandated services. So that's our chunk. That is where we sit, mainly all of our services is in the yellow. So that's mandated. Again, the pie in the middle, this big pie down here, does the same thing, shows you visually. So the mandated services of total expenditures were 57.5. The green sections, columns 10 through 15, are grants or contracted services. So anything that we get grants, federal, state, local grants, and it includes a levy match. If it includes a levy match, that's what's in column 14. So as a department, now I'm going to look down at the total line. As a department, we have 12 of our $74 million, $12 million we are providing services through grants. And we have a levy match of $96,000 for that. So using $96,000 of levy, we're bringing in $12 million of extra services for the citizens, your constituents for this county. And then we have this section at the end, columns 16 through 21, and it's the pink column. And we are labeling this prevention and community support services. These are things that we put in place, and our green ones are like that too, so that we don't have more than 57.5 mandated services. We can prevent some of these, by using our prevention dollars, we can prevent our mandated services from growing, our yellow column from growing too fast. So we are actually putting in almost $20 million of prevention and community support services for Kenosha County, and we're only using $2 million of the local levy dollars to do that. We're grabbing $17 million more of outside funding to help keep mandated services at only 57.5% of our total. And the pie charts down below explain that. You know, they kind of give you a visual of our expenditures, what our other non-levy support is, where we're getting those dollars, how much that is for, and then our levy. So obviously, the bottom pie is showing our levy support, and the bulk of our levy, almost 83%, is for mandated services. So we don't have any control over that. The only thing we do have control over is by using less levy, is by keeping the prevention services in place. So prevention services could mean keeping children in their home, avoiding hospitalization for adults and children by working with them with medication management, that type of thing. You know, so keep them in their home rather than put them in an institute or an out-of-home placement. So that's the summary page. Okay. The other three pages, the column colors are the same. They mean the same definitions. But what we're giving you is a breakdown per division, okay? So we have Children and Family Services on page 2, Workforce Development. The gray lines separate the divisions, so the Children and Family Services are up ahead. But it's giving you in detail the programs and the services that we're supporting and the dollars associated with it. And then page 3 has the DADS, our Division of Aging and Disabilities. And then health is on the last page. We didn't give you a veterans, and we didn't give you a medical examiner because it's all so small, you know, and there are no grants associated with those. We just have very small state funding. So you see it in the summary, though, but we didn't give you the detail on those. And Brookside, we put in Brookside there, and obviously that's a prevention. You know, we put that in the pink area, but we were debating whether or not to put that in, but we put them in on the bottom. The only thing not included is this, is the $3 million that we pass through W-2 benefits to clients, so we didn't put that in this, but we put the services that we do for W-2 clients, because we have $3 million associated with the W-2 program that we get from the state to pass through to the clients, so it was just a pass-through, so that's the only thing missing from this. So that's why I didn't want to go through line by line with each kind of service, but certainly if you look through this on the detail and you see a program and you'd like to know more of, we'd be more than happy to give you that information. When you got the annual report, some of those programs are in there, so there might be a definition, you know, that's suitable to answer your question, so you might want to refer that. But that's why you all have my business card. Email me your questions, and we'd be more than happy to, you know, to pass that out and to answer them.
See? You're all asleep.
No.
Oh, no, I'm holding my questions until I email you.
Okay.
Supervisor Nitto?
I'm going to ask the question now. Very quickly. Could you please... And I know it's not your fault, but my fault. Go through the pain columns again.
Okay.
On the prevention. Very quickly. I think
prevention?
I understood that, but... yeah.
On the prevention? On
yeah,
the pink
please.
Column? Okay. So the pink column, you mean the definition of the pink columns?
Well,
or the columns
more than
themselves?
The columns themselves.
Every color has... The first column is the total expenditures
associated
with that column, that color. Then we have the other funding sources, the non-levy support associated with it. Every color has these three columns. And then the levy support with it. What I added on the front page are the percentages of expense. So let me just use Office of the Director for an example. Well, because that's the first one. So column 2 has a total of $771,809 as total expenditures.
Okay.
Column 3 is $368,590. If you look over in column 1, our mandated services that we provide through Office of the Director in support of the other divisions is 62% of our budget supports mandated services. And that is paid by 35% of other funding and 54% of levy. Now, this is the yellow. Then we support the prevention, which is the pink services. So 38.5% of our budget supports the prevention community support, and of which almost 17%, we have other funding sources that pay for that. And our 45.2% of our levy is associated then with prevention. So we don't have any grants in the Office of the Director. So mandated levy supports 54% of our total levy just for the Office of the Director, and then the support services is 45.2. You won't see those percentages on the individuals because I didn't have enough room with those lines, but I did it on the summary so that you can see it in total. Does that help? Every color has the same column headings. Okay, so we have total expenses, other non-levy support funding those expenses, and levy funding those expenses. Every column has the same headings. And then I think the pies kind of tell it all, too. I mean, when I did these pies, I thought, well, there's your story. Where does our levy go? Well, now we know.
Supervisor Decker.
So basically, if I'm adding this right correctly, out of the total budget, which is $73.8 million, in theory, we only have, like, and I'm just adding roughly in my head, $3.1 million that we have that could actually be, like, cut or even touched to reduce the budget. If I add column 14 and 20...
That's 2.2.
Yeah, if I add the two together?
Yes.
It's 3. Like, out of
if
73 million,
dent,
the only stuff that we could actually, like, touch to do any dent is, like, approximately 3.1 million. Am I correct?
Yes.
In theory, like, actual,
if,
not
if
that we would do it,
black
but.
And white,
yes.
Yes.
Okay.
But you know the ramifications.
Yes, but we would lose a lot, but.
Just a footnote.
Yes, we would lose.
No,
17 plus 12.
This is why we do this report every couple of years because county board supervisors want to know this, you know, and that's why I've seen it. When I pulled out my files, it was like every couple of years, so it must be election year that it happens, you know, and that's fine. So we have this format. So
it's 2.2, actually.
Yeah, it's 2.2.
Yeah, it's
2.2. Oh, you're right. I was thinking that was a million.
2.2.
Yeah.
That's even less.
Yeah. You're right. Thank you.
But it just categorizes it a little bit more so that you know where our sources are
from. So, pretty much stuck with that.
You're stuck with us.
No, not, I didn't mean that. I mean with that.
We're stuck with it, too.
There any other questions from the committee? You think, Governor? We've been just so quiet. You know,
it's so quiet.
Okay. Any other businesses authorized by law?
I have
sorry.
Not me. I'm not.
Chairman Hallman had put in a request a couple weeks ago to me to get a kind of a monthly human service update. And what I'm passing out tonight is the start of that. Next copy for a second, John. That you'll begin to see every month, and it will give you the divisions and just some highlights of what's occurred in that month. Sometimes it may be statistics, sometimes it may be, hey, here's what the grant's doing. And just kind of a brief little snapshot, just to keep folks informed. If I plan on also putting this on every supervisor's desk upstairs so they also have this information available to them.
Thank you.
Because we've heard, certainly sitting in finance, they were talking about how we always come in front of them with these grants, but they never hear what the outcome of the grant is. And I said, well, we come back to this committee and talk about that stuff and our human service board. But something like this certainly may be helpful for folks to at least see what's going on in the human service world. Hopefully this is meeting your original intent and need. And if there's any questions on it, I'd be happy to, or more thoughts on it, certainly take time, read it, and feedback is welcome. Yes, my email's at the bottom.
Supervisor Montemar?
I just have a question. Under the Division of Workforce Development, obviously there it says
8,718 people hung up for IA reason, coming long wait. So this goes back to what our citizen comment was this evening, correct? Mm-hmm. That goes back to that. Then my question to the chairman here is, I know we've been around and around with that. When can that issue be brought up again for my peace of mind, the issue that she spoke of tonight? Is that after the budget is accepted or further? When could that issue be brought up again?
It would be up to the discretion of the chair and the committee to decide when they wish to do so. Although, really, to insert anything now in the middle of the budget is not necessarily the best idea.
6 months or three?
October, November, we pretty much isolate everything to the focus of the budget.
So January or February?
I can.
We hope to have that addressed at budget time.
Oh, good to know.
For 2013.
We're going to try it again.
Because if you
so
don't,
we're going to bring that up
it's
sooner.
Be
yeah, but we're going to give you a little bit more background and a little bit more information and data. Now we have a little bit more, so we're going to present it a little more statistically.
Yeah, and I think folks got also caught up in that this was just a call center type employees, but it's much broader than that. We'll come back
broader.
To this group and others to let you know what's the intent of those positions.
And you heard from Supervisor Frederick earlier that there's a lot of movement going on through WCA and with other counties, and had some interesting conversations with the county supervisor from Milwaukee about this. So there's a lot of movement happening, particularly around this.
I want to add, as long as the county executive approves it for this budget, it'll come back.
Mm-hmm. It'll be something that we at least see and have the ability to discuss. Supervisor Johnson?
I just want to mention, too, I think that there was a disconnect. I don't think people understood that even if the state takes it, we have to pay for it. The quality will go down, and we're just going to wind up paying more for even less.
There is a person that one of the county supervisors from Milwaukee will tell us a story.
I know.
Of how much it's okay. You've heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Of what actually happened.
Absolutely.
It ended up costing taxpayers a lot.
Absolutely, and the quality is worse.
Supervisor, you know, did you have something?
No, I was just gonna comment on that.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard that it's coming back in the budget. So.
Are there any committee member comments?
I just like to make a comment about the minutes. I like how our minutes in the committee meeting are time stamped on based on what time it is on the tape, because our county board minutes are time stamped based on like at 7:05 this happened. Well, when you're listening to something that starts at zero, not at 7:05, it's hard. So I like this, and I'm going to bring it up to the county board that we timestamp them like how you have it. That's all.
It's a little bit different for the county board because the county board is using some different systems and some different software to do some things. So that's going to be worked out over the next month or two.
Mm-hmm.
But the expectation is for that to be in the very same format that we do for these committee meetings. I have one comment. I did ask for this, and thank you. I had thought it was going to be a spreadsheet with a bunch of statistics. Would you prefer that? I'm not disappointed that it isn't, but that's sort of what I had envisioned. But this is okay. I think this is good. It tells us what's going on. We get to see the results of the things we've gone on just beyond a briefing. It's something that I should mention in my remarks about our committee. And I actually owe the department an apology because I did not mention your, $49,000 surplus? I had it on my desk, and I had a couple of things I was going to mention, and for some reason it didn't get. So I will make sure that this Tuesday that gets stated, along with some of the things here. Thank you for this. This is incredibly helpful. If you do have something that's a little more of a spreadsheet along the lines of statistics, that's always
maybe
nice.
Maybe that'll
too.
Be next month. We'll mix it up for you.
That'll work. That'll work.
Next month you're giving us enough paper.
That's called the budget next month.
Yeah.
Is there anyone from anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to mention that the budget meeting is October 18th at the Job Center. 5 o'clock, we have food, and then 5:30 is the meeting will start. The normal scheduled meeting would have been October 23rd, which is being canceled because that's the finance committee meetings. So if you have it on your calendar, that would have been the fourth Tuesday. There is no meeting on October 23rd. It's October 18th for the budget presentation at the Job Center. That's it.
And no, we're not moving it. We're canceling the 23rd.
23rd is canceled, okay. Yeah. The only meeting in October is October 18th.
And for the new supervisors as well as the youth and governance, are the finance committee budget meetings generally start at what, 5, I think, with a meal, and then we go in here at 6 to actually get into
some. And we're on the 24th.
Yes, it's 7:20.
Yeah. I mean, human services is that night.
Yeah, I'll say 8.
So both of you are invited as well as to come for food and stay for it. If you don't, it's where you find a lot of the departments and divisions have something similar to what you saw here. So you'll see things for highway and parks. You'll see things for public works. You'll see things for the jail, very similar to this. Really attending those meetings is really one of the only ways of getting it. Although I suppose we could make a request that if you all wanted it, they could provide it for you in PDF format. Just have to email it to you, but we'll work that up as time goes. So, motion to adjourn by Supervisor Nuno, second by Supervisor Decker. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Chair votes aye. The committee's adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Watch your step record.
Yeah, the weather in La Crosse was not kind to anybody.
Is this today?
It was
outside, or even yesterday? It was warmer.
You know what? I didn't have issues outside. I had issues inside.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I am. These guys are trying to crucify me because I'm working with the feds, but it's not going to work. Can I ask you, did you know that we could get that back on the budget? The extra people?
Yes. It was about timing, about when to do it.
So it just happened. You were able.